Good morning, everyone. Hope you have a wonderful day. We continue where we left off. We are in the Mishnah, chapter 1, Hashem's help. We're going to conclude chapter 1. It's the last Mishnah of chapter 1 above Metzias. Dedicate this class to our brothers and sisters of the Holy Land, especially those on the front line. May all the wounded have a full and speedy recovery. May all the hostages return home safely. Their families. So till now we learned if a person finds documents, so you're not allowed to just return the document because A, maybe that document was never executed. Secondly, maybe if it was executed, maybe it was paid. And thirdly, maybe there's a conspiracy going on. You have to take into account all sorts of shenanigans that may take place. You know, you can't be trusting and naive. But now a Mishnah is going to say there's certain documents, you have no reason not to return them to the owner. Okay, look at Mishnah. The person finds documents, court documents, that were written for the lender. That when he came to collect his debt, they evaluated the fields of the borrower. So the report writes a document, this is the evaluation of the field, and we give the field to the lender. So this is a court document that the court evaluated and gave the lender. There's nothing to worry about. Well, what are you afraid of? There's no conspiracy, it was executed. Obviously, the court is writing a document that means everything was executed and everything is kosher. Shtari chalitza, a document that says that the Yavam, the Shemeres Yavam, the wife, lost her husband and her husband died childless. And the surviving brother gave her a chalitza and she's allowed to marry. She's free to marry. So you give it back to her. If it was lost and found, someone finds it, you give it back to the woman. There's nothing to worry. It's 100% legitimate. The court wouldn't have written unless there was actually a chalitza that happened. A minor, who's only a father has biblically the power, the right, the privilege to marry off his minor daughter. If the father dies, then the mother and the brothers don't really have a power, but rabbinically, they rabbis say they can marry her off, but she doesn't need a divorce. She can just walk away from the marriage. It's called a miyum. She protests. She walks away. So you write a letter, you write again, like instead of a bill of divorce, you write a shtar miyum. The court writes a document that she was mamayim, and she protests, and she walked out of the marriage and dissolves the marriage as if it never happened. The mother will explain what documents of clarification. The mother will explain exactly what this means. In any act, official act of the court, that was written by the court. For example, like we learned earlier, the court empowers the lender to go find properties that the borrower has so he can get paid for his law for the debt. Or shtar adrachta. I'm sorry, shtar chalza. That they give him permission to go and seize the properties, to seize the properties of the borrower. And shtar adrachta. Where they go tell them, we don't know of any properties to seize, but go look, go search. We empower you to go search and find properties to get paid back. Get your loan paid. So all of these documents written by the court, if it's found, you give it back to the owner. Because the court would never write and not execute. Court never gets involved until it's already a fact, until already it's a done deal.
They don't rewrite everything.
Right, they don't rewrite, right.
There's no factory producing.
Exactly, exactly. To have it ready. Then the mission says, if you find any document, but you find it in different types of vessels, a bundle of documents, a gudashal studies, or one on top of the other, they're bound together. And he has an identifying mark, how many documents there are, or another identifying mark. Whoever gives the sign, the identifying mark, obviously it fell from his pocket because he knows about it. He knows exactly, he must be his. So then you don't have to worry, maybe it was never written, it was never given to him. No, it was given to him. The Kama Gudashal Shtaris, what's considered a bundle of Shtaris? A good is three. So if he says it's three, he knows exactly it's three, then you give it back. Right. Rav Shimon Gamliel says, Echad Aleva Mishleish. The person finds three documents, and it's all from the same borrower. One borrower borrowed from three different people. He went to three different banks to get a loan. Same person is borrowing from the whole world. Yachzir, then he give it back to the leva. Obviously, who did it fall from? What are the chances that the document was the lenders, these three lenders, and they all fell together? Yeah, exactly. If they all fell together, that means that he already paid his loan, and they gave him back the documents, and this was his receipt, and he lost it, so he gave it back to him. But if he found Shloisha Levim in Echad, reverse, three people borrow from one lender, he's a very generous lender, he's lending out to a lot of people. Then also Yasser Lamaba, what are the chances that it fell from three different borrowers and they're all together? If they're all together, it must be it fell from the lender and he never got paid yet. It's still a document that's still in force, so you give it back to the lender.
All is on paper.
It continues, Matzer Shtar. So a person finds a document between his documents. He says that it's talking about a third party. A third party has a document, but he doesn't know who gave him the document. Did the lender give him the document to hold for him? It was not collected yet. Did the borrower give him the document to hold for him? He already paid. Repaid partially, he doesn't know. So what do? Then just leave it alone, wait till Yo will tell us the facts, the reality, the truth, what really happened. And meanwhile, don't give a document to the lender, don't give it to the borrower, we're not sure what happened here. Others say it's talking about even the lender himself. The lender doesn't know. The lender's being honest, I don't remember. I don't know if you already paid me, if not. And the borrower says, I know for sure I paid you. And the lender says, I'm not sure. So in this case, do nothing. Don't just let it lie. You can't use this document to collect. Yes, he wants some payments, but if he finds amongst the documents receipts that the lender writes to the borrower, you already paid me. But he still has the loan document. No, besides the receipt, he also has the loan document. So he doesn't know why do I have the receipt? Why didn't I give it to the borrower? So Yasim Mashas Shebesim Penis. He should follow what it's written in the receipt. It was paid. And he can't collect it. Even though what's it doing in his hand? It was paid. Why is he holding on to the receipt? Don't he give the receipt to the borrower who paid?
Maybe the debtor said, send it to me later on.
Yeah, maybe he believed him. Exactly. He trusted him. The whole thing is a trust. I asked you for a loan. You were kind enough to lend me $1 million. I'm going to have I'll pick it up later. Exactly. In the beginning of the Mishnah, he also mentioned Igris Mazin, letters of that he took upon himself the responsibility to feed his wife's daughter, even though it's not his daughter. Stepdaughter. That's the mission. Talk to him about my study berudin. What study berudin? Documents of clarification. So he says, Hacha tirgimu. My study berudin hacha. The hacha over here, in Babel, in Babylonia, tirgimu, they explain, interpreted the study tainus. With the scribes, the judges, they write down each one's side. The claimant says this, the defendant says this. Rabbi Yirmi was from the land of Israel. Amar says, study, but it means, that you have an option. When someone takes you to a court, summons you to a court, you have an option. It has to be a court of three, but you have an option. I'm going to pick a judge that I trust. You pick a judge that you trust, and the two of them will choose that they both trust. So that's a document that's written that each one chose their judge. And once you write it down, you can't take it back. Once it's written, you can't take it back. You committed. You can't say, oh, no, I changed my mind. No, this is... Okay. Then it says in the Mishnah, oh, my best, not easy. Mother says, there was a get that was found in the courthouse, it was lost and found in the courthouse of Rav Huna. Tabak Sibbe was written in the get, Bishvili Mos, Aroch is not. That the get was written in the place in the city called Shvili Masa, that's just on the river, next to the river, called Rachis. Rabbuna said, "Chayshino Shnei Shvili." We already had this earlier. Rabbuna says we have to suspect that maybe there are two cities called Shvili just because, even though it has a name written on it, and this person we know in town, you can't just use it as a bill of divorce. You can't. It's not no longer effective because maybe it wasn't written for this person. Maybe there's another city, another place, because it was a heavily trafficked area. The courthouse of Rav Huna was a leading dayan, the leader of his generation. People are traveling from all over, so maybe someone brought it from a different city with the same name, and he had the same names. And the people, the husband and wife, and it fell from his pockets. So you can't legally use it to divorce his wife here. It wasn't written for this couple. Chizda said, who was a student of Rabbi Rabba, Hook, go out, Ryan, go check. Is this, bring a source for this? Is this correct? Why? Because the boy later, what is he going to ask you? What do you think about this? Nafik, Rabbi went out, duck, and he looked into it. Ba'ashkach, and he found our mission as a proof, as a source. Not learn our mission. That any act of the court, you return it to the person. Because since the court, the document was authenticated, and it was affirmed by the court, so we return it. So we see that if in this town there's no other person by that name, we don't worry that maybe there's another was lost by someone who comes from another town who has the same name, and over there the couple had the same name, and therefore I can't do it. Says the opposite. We don't worry about it. The mission saying, don't worry that maybe there's another town. You don't have to worry. It's too far-fetched. I assume that it was lost here, was found in this town, it was lost there. We know the names. It's legal. It's effective. This is the document that was written for this wife, with her in mind, and the husband can use it and give it to her. So it refutes Rav Huna's ruling. So Rav Huna said, how could you compare the two? How could you compare the two? Our mission is talking about financial matters, not talking about a divorce. Not a divorce. So financial matters, you say, you can return it. When it comes to divorce, you're going to permit a woman to remarry. It's a question of adultery. She's married. There you can't be lenient. There you have to worry, even if something is so far-fetched. So Rabbi said to Rabbi Amram, Tarda. What's wrong with you? Are you lost your mind?
Lunatic.
Study chalitza miyunintan. It says in our Mishnah we're talking about marriage. Study chalitza miyunin. We're not just talking about lost and found. We're talking about marriage-related documents.
Right. Chalitza miyun, etc.
And it says that you give it back.
Right.
She's allowed to marry. She's free to marry. But how do you know? Just because the document maybe is another town and the same name.
Right.
So the shtender. I'm sorry, the arza that the whole base of medrash was leaning on collapsed.
They say
said, because of my mazel, Paka. Broke. because it's standing up for my honor that he insulted me, he called me a lunatic. Because you try to embarrass me. And therefore, you cause this to happen. It says in our Mishnah, what's a chafisa? A small drug. It's a canteen, whatever. It's made of leather. You put wine like a canteen, a drug. My luskema, what's luskema? Yeah, a skin flask. My luskema, Rabbi Shmuel, to lika the savi. Like a little box, a little box. Yeah, that older that people keep.
You find a potato peeler in there, and
yeah, you don't have to look after it. You know, everything is available, whatever you need.
Yeah.
A little your pocket knives and all the other things that you need.
Sewing needle, whatever.
Yeah. So if you find these documents in the box and you have identifying marks on the box, on this container, or this flask,
plain old box, forget it.
Then you know that it was his. It says now, Mishnah Tachrus Shostadis, Igor Shostadis. Turn it up on the rabbi's like, Kamu, the Tachrus Shostadis. Tachrich means they're all bundled together. They're all not just tied together. They're all wrapped together. So it's a minimum of three. That's what he says. That's the identifying mark. There are three documents here. Kamiya Gudash Ostar is also Shleishuk Shinnah. But these are tied together. Not wrapped together, but tied together. You might have said, Shmam Inna from here. Shmam Inna from here we see. Kesher Simon. A person gives identifying mark. And he says it was tied a certain way. It's considered an identifying mark, and you return to him based on that identifying mark. And Mara says, no.
That's a big change.
We learned that's the simon, the mount. Not the identifying how it was tied. Maybe identifying mark, that's not considered identifying mark. How many documents there are? You have no way of knowing. Is it two? Is it one? Is it two? Is it three? Is it four? Is it five? How do you know? You must know because it's yours. In other words, most people take each document, roll it up, and tie it, and then they take all the rolled up documents and tie them together, to hold it together. Here, he rolled all the documents, rolled them up together. He laid them all out, laid three of them together, one on top of the other, and he rolled it. Right, so that's unusual. How would you know that? Because it must be yours. If that's the case, hainu tachrich. And what's the difference in aguda and tachrich? That is tachrich. Tachrich means all rolled up together. So my answer is there is a difference. Tachrich kochad v'chan b'reisha d'chavre. In other words, with tachrich, only the edges, the head of each thing are rolled together. Good, the Ramu Adadi, the Kruches. They're completely lined up, one on top of the other. And then he rolls them up. Tachrich, each one is rolled up separately, except the heads are together. He says, my machris, what do you announce? What do you announce? You're asking the owner to come forward and to identify, but what are you announcing? So you might have said, if you're going to say minion, you announce how many you lost. I found three documents. Then ma'irat lasa. Why does the mission say only if you find three? Even today, not me. Even if I only find two. What difference?
It's not enough. Because if it says documents, that's a minimum of two.
No, he announces. He announces, I find two, now I come identify it. If you identify, how is it rolled together? Are they rolled separately? Are they rolled together?
If you can identify all of them.
Identify how it's rolled. What difference does it make if it's two or three? Why does it have to be three?
Well, just to say I found two is not
Ella, no, now come identify it. I found two, now come identify it. Tell me how it was rolled, and I'll give it back to you. Ella, rather, I'm going to have like Ravina said, Tiva macht. That a person announce, we're going to learn in the next chapter. When a person finds coins, you don't say how many coins you find. You just say, I found coins. You just say, study machris. just announce, I found documents. That's it. So the person has to identify, has to say, it's my documents, I lost three, this is how it's rolled. So that's why he only says three. Because if he announces, since he announces I lost documents, like you say, two, a minimum of two.
For sure, yeah.
So to say that I found two, when you announce I lost, I found documents, and the person says two, yes, oh wow, what a guess. Two is two, documents in the plural is two, at least. So it's not a sign. It's when you say three, oh, now you're telling me something real. How would you know it's three? How would I know? I said documents. That's all I said. Documents could be two. If it's more than two, it could be four, five, six, seven, eight. I don't know. How do you know it's three? You must be knowing something. You must be the true owner. Maybe numbers is enough. Just counting, tell me how many should be enough. Says the criteria is how many. If I announce I lost, I found documents, and you tell me it's three, it's yours. That's what the mission is saying. Three documents, because it means it's yours. You don't even have to remember how you wrapped it. It doesn't matter if you know how it's wrapped in it. Versus if you just tell me how it's wrapped, it's not a sign. It may not be a sign. If it's three documents, and all of them are one borrower, and he bought three documents from three different lenders, obviously it fell from the borrower. That means he already paid the loan, and they gave it back. All three gave it back to him as a receipt, and it fell from his pocket. My boy Gabi Adodi. If you're saying that the lenders are still holding on to the document, it's an unpaid document, he still owes these three lenders, how do they all fall together? It makes no sense.
It's all talking about if you have...
You might ask why. Dilma, perhaps. Maybe all of them took it to the court to authenticate it, and therefore it fell from the scribe. Three different lenders, the same borrower. But it's very possible that it was an unpaid document. You might answer because the Mekayim. We're talking about, you're right, in a case where it wasn't certified. Yeah, but we're talking about it was already certified. So if it's certified, you're not going to leave it in the hands of the court. Everyone will come and collect it.
And the scribe didn't lose them.
Right. Maybe it fell from the scribe. Maybe he authenticated it. And then he lost it before he had a chance to give it back to them. He might have said, no. A person doesn't leave. The moment it's authenticated, he comes and takes it back.
Right.
You don't leave it hanging around by the scribe. So what are the chances, all three of them, he authenticated the last, and a minute before he had a chance to give it to anyone, he lost all three of them together. I mean, yeah, exactly. Surely it fell from the bar. Then Rabbi Shimon Gamliel continues, if three borrowers borrowed from the same lender, three documents, but it's all the same lender, who did it fall from? It truly fell from the, and all together, it truly fell from the lender. It means these documents were unpaid. These are going to think the love, the Levininu, that all three of them fell from the three different borrowers. My God, what are the three doing together? How do they all happen to land together? In other words, if it's already paid and they're given back from the lender, the single lender, the three different borrowers as a receipt, how did they all land up together? You might have waited, Dilma, perhaps, Mechtavino, Azli. Maybe they all went to the scribe to write for them a document. In other words, they should have a document ready to give to the lender. They want a loan, so they make it easy on the lender. So they prepare documents, each borrower, and they're all borrowing from the same lender. And it fell from the hands of the scribe. So therefore, maybe it was never executed. Why are you giving it back to the lender? Maybe the document was never executed. The loan was never executed. The document was written up. So the borrower should have it handy that when he comes to the lender, a very generous lender, they're all coming to the same lender, he's very generous, he lends to the whole world. So each one of them wants to have a document ready here. Everything is ready, just sign it and give him the money. So maybe it fell from the scribe and none of these documents were ever executed. How could you return these documents to the lender? He's going to go collecting it on a loan that never happened. You might answer, Zuchsivi, the mission is talking about Zuchsivi, but lastly they say for three different scribes. So therefore, there's nothing to worry about. Three different scribes, and how do they all land together? Maybe all three borrowers went to the court, so they should have authenticated the signatures. So then when they come to the borrower, they come to borrow, they come to the lender, they give him a fait accompli, they give him everything is set. He doesn't have to worry. Here we have a document, a loan document for you with witnesses, authenticated by the court that these witnesses are not forgery. So therefore, I can never come and claim, hey, you know, maybe you made up this whole thing. So it all fell from the same court. Even if it's three different handwritings written by three different scribes, but they were all brought together to be authenticated by the court, and maybe the court lost it. And in other words, these documents were never executed. So how can you give it back to the lender so you can collect on them and a loan that never happened? But my answer is, Malva Mekayim Shtori. Who authenticates a document? Who is interested in authenticating a document? The lender.
He
wants to get paid back. That the borrower can't come and claim it's a forgery. Not the borrower. Not the borrower. So yes, maybe it's a very far-fetched case scenario. They're not one, but two, three. All three borrowers decided that we're all going to go to the court to authenticate our documents. So it's far-fetched. We don't worry about it. It says in the Mishnah, a person finds documents amongst the documents. He doesn't understand. He's not sure who gave it to him, whether the lender gave it to him, the borrower gave it to him. He's a third party. So what do you do with it? So he says, if you find amongst the documents, you also find a receipt that but this document was already out. Paid.
Right.
But even though he's still holding on to the receipt, so if you follow the receipt.
He's still
following. Yeah. If the lender finds a receipt in his possession,
he don't remember. He can't remember the details of the whole thing. Did he pay?
So even though it's written in his handwriting,
right?
He's laughing. In other words, the loan document is still in effect because he's the fact that he still has it. If it was a receipt, he would have given it. Obviously, he's laughing because he never gave it to him. He never executed the receipt. I prepared a receipt. When you'll pay me, I'll give you. I'll have a receipt handy. But it's still in my possession. I never gave it to you. That means you still owe me the money. Not only cost of the other shall safer if it's written in the handwriting of the scribe. He found the scribe. He needs a scribe to write the receipt. When the borrower will repay the loan, he should have a receipt ready. So he asked him to write the receipt. Not because he paid him, he was paid already. He should have it ready. Even if he wrote in his own handwriting, he's literate. He doesn't need a scribe to write it for him. He can write it himself. He can draw it himself. And he wrote it up. So you don't say to him, wait a minute, why would he write a receipt if the borrower never paid? It's still possible. It's still not a valid receipt. Why? Because maybe the borrower will want to pay back the loan right before Shabbos. I don't have time to sit and write. I'm busy. So I'll have a receipt ready. The kapodeli is going to pay me. So that's why he prepared a receipt. He should be ready to go.
Right.
He's not going to pay me. He says, oh, you're not giving him a receipt? Goodbye. And you know what? If I'm so lucky, the guy is paying me back. You know, I'm not going to let him leave without paying me, without taking the money. He's ready to pay me. And he won't pay me because I'm not ready. But no, let me write it. The guy says, if he surprises me and he brings me when I'm too busy, I'll have it ready. Ethnically. So therefore, it doesn't prove anything. It doesn't prove that the loan was actually repaid.
Okay, what did they say about that?
Yeah. It's not. We learned the Mishnah. Im Yeshimon Simpeines. If he found, if the lender found a receipt, you follow. He's not sure. He doesn't remember. You follow the receipt.
Right.
That it was paid.
This is in contradiction.
Right. So it says that even if the lender has the receipt, you just finished saying. You just finished saying. That Rabbi Yirmiyahu Rabbi Abba said, but Abba said that you don't follow the receipt. He's laughing. If the lender has it, he's laughing. It's not. Doesn't prove anything. It doesn't prove it was paid. Here the Mishnah says, if you find receipts, it's proof that it was paid. So Gemara answers Gedam, but Rav Safra explained. We're talking about it was found amongst documents that were ripped up. What are ripped up documents? Ripped up documents means they were already paid. They're finished. They're done with. He doesn't need them anymore. That's why he ripped them up. So even Rabbi Yirmiyahu would agree in a case like this, that even if the receipt is found in the hands of the lender, but if it's amongst his ripped up documents, surely it's because the receipt was executed, because it was already paid. So the loan, he doesn't, the loan document was done, taken care of already. Because otherwise, why would he place it amongst the ripped up documents? The ripped up documents, that pile of ripped up documents, is documents that's already done with. It's over with. So Achinami also over here, we're talking about Matu bin Ashtar Sakrui. Mother asked, Toshma, bring your proof. We're going to learn and track the Baba Basra and the Mishnah. So if you have a town, we have two people by the same name, right? And one of them, Ben Shtereis, person found amongst another person, found between his documents, amongst his documents, he found a receipt that says, Shtereis Yosef ben Shimon Padua. The document, the loan document of Yosef ben Shimon, you have two people by the same name, Yosef ben Shimon. So the third party finds in his documents a receipt that says, that the loan from Yosef ben Shimon Parua was paid. He already paid me. Now,
and there's two people with
the lender lent to both Yosef ben Shimon. He doesn't right. He doesn't remember who already paid already. It just says Yosef ben Shimon paid. But which Yosef ben Shimon? Right. Exactly. Exactly.
Which law? Which law?
Exactly. So the law states studies shneim peruyin. I'm sorry. We have to assume that they're both paid. You can't collect from anyone. You don't know exactly. Each one can say, "I'm the one who paid you." You have a receipt in your hand.
Each one can say, "Oh yeah, that's me."
Prove it. Prove it. Exactly. Prove me wrong. So what do we see? That if even though the receipt is found in the hands of the lender, why don't you say the whole thing is a joke?
Yeah.
None of them paid.
Right.
He wrote it. It should be ready. He should have it prepared. So both of them should have to pay back the loan. The Gemara answers, Rav Safra says, Nimsa ben Shtaris Kuri. That's what he just quoted earlier. That was the answer of Rav Safra to explain the opinion of Rabbi Yirmiyahu. It's not a contradiction of the Mishnah. The Mishnah is talking about a case where it was found amongst the ripped up documents. In other words, the pile of documents that were already taken care of already. Right. That it was found between the ripped up documents. Toshma. He wouldn't have left a receipt. You're saying maybe he wrote it, maybe the lender wrote it. To have it ready, to prepare.
Right.
If you're writing a document to have it ready, why are you putting it in the pile of documents that you don't need, that's already done with?
Right.
You should put it in your pile of documents that you should have it ready. So the fact that it's there tells me that there was that you
it,
yeah you already wrote
it, drew it in
collected
that
exactly.
Yeah.
But it actually brings the mother there ass. How could you collect if you have two people by name Yosef and Shimon? You can't use that document at all because each one can say, "How do you know it's me? How do you even write such a document? It doesn't prove anything. You're not going to get a dime." And there's another person with the same name. You have a bill for me. You're sending me a bill. You got the wrong address. Go. You mean the other guy with my name, not me. But so over there, he says, because over there, you can go back to identify. You can go back a third generation. Yosef ben Shimon, ben Yehuda.
Yeah.
Right. The grandfathers who don't have the same name. But in the receipt, all it's written is Yosef ben Shimon, the same name. So I know that the O, but... I maybe it was paid, and each one can say, prove it to me that I'm not the one who paid.
Specific, okay. But the specific person.
Toshma, bring your proof. We learn in Tractate Shavuos. The lender and the borrower both died. Now we're dealing with the children, the next generation. So the children of the lender come to the children of the borrower to collect the loan. So they have to swear. What's the swear? What's the oath? Shavuos lepakat no'ab. They have to swear that our father never left any instructions. He never told us anything. Maybe he was paid. He would have mentioned anything. He didn't mention anything. And also, he never said anything. he never told us that when he was healthy, even before he was on his deathbed, he never said that it was paid. Also, leimetzanu bin shtereisu shalavu shtar shleizu peru. We never found a receipt amongst our father's documents. We went through our father's documents. We didn't find any receipt that the loan was already paid. So what do we see from that mission in Shavuos? That if they would have found a receipt, that means it was paid. Right. Rabbi Yirmiyah says if you find a receipt in the hands of the lender, it doesn't mean anything. It means he just prepared it to have it ready for when he will pay. It means he didn't pay it. So what do you mean? Why should they swear we didn't find? Even if they find the document, even if they searched the documents and they found the receipt in the father's possession, it doesn't mean anything. The children still have to pay. The borrower still has to pay. Rav Safra Safra answers, the same answer that everybody is talking about. It was found in the pile of the documents that were already taken.
The documents.
Tashma, bring your proof. We learn the simpan, the receipt, which breaks up the loan. Right.
She
yes, a love edim,
which has signatures on it.
And the lender said it wasn't paid. That's why he says, why am I holding the, why do I have the receipt? The lender says, because you never paid. I just prepared it. So it says, the Braise says, it's Kayim
Bechaismo. Oh, it's an old
one. The Braise says that authenticate the document. And if you authenticate the document, you can no longer claim and say, well, it wasn't paid. No, witnesses signed a receipt, that means it was already paid. Why, according to you, Rabbi Yirmiya, the fact that it's still in my possession, the lender's possession, doesn't that is laughing? Doesn't that tell me that it was never executed, the receipt, because the guy never paid the loan? The Gemara says, Ema say, Yiskaya mechaisma. In other words, ask them. At the Shailina Le, we continue on 21A. Ask them. Lisade, you signed, so tell us. When you signed, because you witnessed him paying, and that's why you signed the receipt, tell me what happened. Not we authenticate the signatures. We authenticate it with the witnesses. If you have witnesses, if it's usually a receipt is between the lender and the borrower. There's no other party. So this one says yes, this one says no. I have no way of verifying it. Here, if there's two witnesses on the receipt, I have a way of verifying it. Let me ask the witnesses, what happened? Did he pay or didn't he pay? Very simple question.
Get the witnesses.
I'll bring you a proof. We learn the Braisa, Simpin. Sheeshalav Edim Kosh. That a Simpin, a receipt that has witnesses, it's kosher. And the lender can't say that it was not
this
executed.
This contradicts Baraba. Okay, let's
see. So, it contradicts Abirmi says. That even though he's producing it, the lender is producing it. That's what the Braise seems to be saying. Even though the lender is producing it, so you can say he's producing it, and he's saying it never happened. I never used it. I just prepared it. Nonetheless, we don't believe it. If it has witnesses, we don't believe it. So the Gemara answers, "My aid, may the key."
They're witnesses of.
The witnesses in the receipt. He's talking about the witnesses of the judges. Right, like we learned, judges are not going to authenticate unless it's real, unless it already happened, unless it was executed. So he can't say, well, I prepared it, but no, he prepared. Why are you bringing it to the court to authenticate? Obviously, it already happened. Yeah. Exactly. How can I stop? It also makes sense. With the Tani Sefer, it says at the end. The end of that Braisa, Shaina Loved, impossible. If there are no witnesses, impossible. What do you mean there are no witnesses? There's no witnesses written on the document. Surely it's possible. I mean, there's no witnesses. Surely it means there are witnesses, but it was never authenticated in the court. So then he can say it's not valid. What do you mean? I prepared a document, but I never executed it. Doesn't mean anything. Hey, Gufa, now he quotes again the Braise. We learned Simpin Shiesh Leveidim. He's Kayim Bechais. Because since it was they're authenticating the authentication of the court. So therefore, you know it was real. That the receipt was actually executed. But ain't a love eidim if there are no witnesses, eidikim. There are no witnesses that authenticate the document, authenticate the signatures of the witnesses. And a third party has this receipt, not the borrower, not the lender. In other words, they gave it to a third party. It's like a escrow. Hold on to the receipt. When the borrower will pay the loan, you'll give the receipt to the borrower. The lender gives the receipt to the escrow, to the third account, to the third party. You release the receipt once he pays it. And now the third party takes the receipt and he argues that the borrower paid back the loan. Or even if the lender produces the receipt. But it's written on the document itself. After the signature of the witnesses, it's written on the bottom of the loan document. The lender writes, it was paid. It's paid up. Kosher. Then the receipt is valid. Valid. If you trusted him, what's the whole point of an escrow? What's the whole point of giving it to a third party? You're giving him, you're trusting him, because otherwise he can just give the receipt to the borrower. If you don't trust him,
right.
you're putting dynamite in his hands. You're giving him a receipt, he can just give it to the borrower, and it's
the
end of the story.
Is the agent is just like the principal?
Yeah, no, but in this case, he believes him. So when he says that it was paid, even though the lender is screaming, no, he never paid me. Well, I'm sorry, you trusted this person, you gave him in his hands, and he claims that it was paid, and so you have to believe him. And also, if the lender himself has it, but he was written in his own handwriting underneath the document, underneath the signatures, he said it's all paid, a person wouldn't do that unless it was actually executed, unless the document was actually paid. So then it's a kosher receipt. Okay, now we come to the conclusion. The reason why it's a valid receipt, the hemne, he believes him. You trusted him. You put it into his hands. You trusted him. The lender trusted the third party. And if it wasn't paid, why would he undermine the document? This is his document, the proof that the guy owes him. You can undermine it and write in the document was paid before it was paid. Then you can never collect with this document. It's ridiculous. So surely, it's a valid receipt. Hadna lechashnayim meirzim, Hashem's help. We finished the first chapter. Tomorrow, Mitchum, we're going to start the second chapter, Eilu Metzias.